Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. Tell you, this morning has just been flying by. Happy to be with you. If you want to reach the show, we're still getting your messages on the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line at 800-905-0989. And good morning to you, Roger Davis.
And to you, sir.
How are you today?
Not bad, really, all things considered.
Yeah,
and I'll say with respect to flying time, you need to maybe wait about a decade, then you'll get it. When Christmas starts coming twice a year, and it's
here
a flash
before you know
from
it.
There, man. Yeah,
I know. You know, why can't good things come more often? You know, it's always when time flies, it's because the good things are past. And, you know, why can't I say, oh, I can't believe it. Something really nice is about to happen again. It's always like bad stuff, like, oh, I guess taxes are due again.
Yeah,
I guess I got to put the weed and feed down on the yard again. Oh, it's always responsibilities that fly by.
So it appears,
So I wanted to get your opinion on this as a reporter and someone that's been in the news industry. And ABC suspends a correspondent for calling Stephen Miller a, quote, world-class hater. So ABC News senior national correspondent Terry Moran was suspended after he criticized top Trump aide Stephen Miller as, quote, richly endowed with the capacity for hatred. In its since-deleted post, the network confirmed the incident happened, as ABC spokesperson confirmed in a statement to Axios that Moran, quote, has been suspended pending further evaluation. So the quote by itself, richly endowed with the capacity for hatred, you think that is worthy of suspension in the world of journalism?
All depends on the context. I take it he was making a social media post, however.
Right, Facebook.
Yeah, and however, that's a public medium, as it turns out. There, it has no place in journalism, no. That comment alone does not square with any reasonable assessment that a reasonable journalist would make of any public official at all.
Yeah,
it just doesn't, you know.
So quick catch up. It said Moran in April conducted an at times testy interview with President Trump, marking his first 100 days in office. Posted on X, 12:06 a.m. on Sunday, he called. I guess it was X, not Facebook. I thought I read Facebook, but said he called both Miller, who is a White House deputy chief of staff for policy, and the president, quote, world class, end quote, haters.
Yeah.
So with world class haters. I think in the based on where we are today in civil discourse, that's a pretty tame criticism.
Well, I suppose so. But the fact remains, it's completely inappropriate for anybody who self-styles as a journalist. I have no further sympathy for him.
Well, let's look at it this, and I have a little bit of sympathy just because look at like Stephanopoulos continued to call Donald Trump a rapist, and he wasn't suspended. He got his job, but they sued the network and lost. And remember, this is the same network, ABC. And the defamation we also have with, is it 60 Minutes? And what's going on with Donald Trump also suing them.
Oh, yeah.
So now you have, you have Stephanopoulos said something so much worse than this reporter, and he still got a job, and they didn't even, like, blink. They basically forced him to apologize after the fact, way after the fact.
Yeah, well, in some cases, what they're doing is choosing which hill to stage what they believe is an absolute an adversarial relationship that's irremediable right now between media and government, and that there's nothing between, no mitigating factors at all. So yeah, why
is
not?
Is this just a byproduct of the lawsuit with ABC? They realize they're kind of on a tightrope with things they can and can't say.
Yeah,
And you know, I don't think this is something you could sue over. It's not like that they would be like seeking legal action over this, but I think they just realized that after all of these lawsuits were settled and they realized their error in how they allowed their people to conduct themselves and probably behind the scenes were endorsing them to do to begin with. So they realized very quickly that, there's a new mentality of what we can and can't get away with. So even though this is something we can't get away with, we're going to err on the side of I want them people to know we're taking action. And that at least shows that we've made some progress. Do you think this is maybe a byproduct of that?
I think there's no doubt that it is. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yep. That's kind of interesting. Let me bring you this one, too. This is from the New York Post, and this is another kind of your journalistic side. I wanted to get your thoughts on this. Pentagon secretly planted Area 51 UFO conspiracy theory to hide classified weapons program in a bombshell report. This was something that was pretty much known and understood in that community for a long time.
Yeah, they realized the 1950s, I would say. Yes.
Yeah, well, well after that, a lot of times what they found is that these disinformation campaigns from the government were there to discredit people that were reporting honest things about the government. So they did everything they could to try to make a person that is reporting the truth sound like a crackpot so they would lose their career. And, there was all kinds of reports. Like, for example, there was one person that was talking about getting government interference when they were hearing like cross messages from the government.
Yep.
And what the government was doing was they were like in a surveillance van and they were like narrowly transmitting to this person's house. So they were getting messages to try to plant this stuff so the person would report it to sound like a crackpot. Like they were targeting individual journalists. And these things have been found and reported in these. And I go back and I think, you as someone that understands the way the news media works and how the government could communicate with in direct and indirect ways, do you have your guard up that lots of misinformation is being put out by the government, or do you automatically, when you see a press release, you're not really thinking that?
I do not believe that there is an active conspiracy within the structure of government to mislead people. I really don't. I doubt it. I really do. And the other thing is, the only court that really counts in the last analysis, if you're going to put this thing in a journalism context, is the court of public opinion. I will say that there, that anybody who feels that they have some avenue to improve their situation with respect to that jury, they're going to do it. Mm. They're absolutely going to do it. And all these people who are the spokespersons for the various departments and the press secretaries and all of that, their backgrounds are usually in traditional journalism. So there you go.
And I think about COVID, for example, and there was a lot of misinformation the government was putting out during that time. And lots of flat-out lies. We know after the fact that it wasn't all innocent, some of this information they were releasing about it, knowing what we know now. So I think that was a wake-up call to a lot of people that, hey, they are actively engaging in ways to manipulate people's opinions in order to get what their will is. And there's a big amount of distrust that's built up when it comes to the government message because of that. And rightfully so. I think that it's healthy to not trust the information coming out of the government.
Well, you know, I have an acquaintance, really. I haven't seen him in a while, who works for the National Institute of Health. Those people are true believers, total disciples in what they were saying, and continue to defend much of what they were doing with respect to the pandemic.
So, yeah.
You know, and that's a tough call. It really is.
I guess it is. And I know that not everyone's bad, but why? I have become so, the older I get, the more disdain I get and mistrust I get for government agencies. Does it ever get better, Roger?
If you look back around, for example, in World War II, there were the media was completely subjugated to basically what the government said you may and may not say at a given time, under wartime powers acts. You know, there's a long history of exactly what you're talking about, manipulating the media. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's a commonplace tactic that when it comes to independent type of journalism, in some cases, when I say independent journalism, it's almost all commentary that they call journalism. But still, independent means of getting your opinion out without having to go through a filtered means of a broadcast entity has proven very powerful, because a lot of times I don't know if it's 50-50. I think there's a lot of people doing it for the chasing fame, trying to get a little bit of money. They might not have the best interest of their listeners at heart. But I think the ones that are honestly trying to give an honest opinion are the ones that are most successful and have the longevity and have a track record of being right. So I see a big future in that still.
Yeah. And you hit on a very key point there anymore. What is the definition of journalism?
Yep. And that's a big question, which we may have to get into a little bit later. I really enjoy these conversations with you, Roger. And when we come back after the break, I mentioned this before with Karl Rove, and he was on Fox News, and he basically said, Republicans, this is what you need to do regarding the Medicaid cuts debate. I mean, people are going to bring this up, and they're going to say, you just want old ladies to die, and you want people to, you know, bleed out on the street, and illegal immigrants are just, you know, whatever. You hear all of these different scare tactics that the Democrats are putting in ad form right now, and this is what you need to do to combat that. And I'll play his opinion coming up after the break. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara, News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for the text. Look at this text message. Poor Roger was built for a world that doesn't exist anymore. Too much class for this one. You guys love Roger. I love that. One person said, Ryan, Terry Moran is a self-important, pompous, meanie mouth. I think that's what you're saying. D-bag. And that was me being nice. one person said... Let's see. The problem is the belief government is better than the sum of its parts, when in reality it's not better than the collection of room temp IQ bureaucrats looking out for their own paycheck. Yeah, I guess I'm a little bit more cynical when it comes to government the older I get. You can't trust them further than you can throw them kind of mentality. I wanted to get to this because I know we only got a couple of minutes here, but what is in the big, beautiful bill when it comes to Medicaid cuts? And I'm looking at some opinion pieces. There is one that was put out on USA Today that really breaks down the Medicaid, and their opinion on this is GOP is doing the right thing with Medicaid. The truth is that Republicans are doing what's right morally and fiscally. It says they're requiring able-bodied adults to do work as a condition of receiving Medicaid benefits. So let's look at it this way. Now, when you talk about Medicare, Medicaid, we're not talking about retirement age. You're old enough to reach that. We're talking about people that are able-bodied and refusing to work or not willing to, or just flat out not doing it for whatever excuse. This is what Karl Rove says you should do. And I'm going to play this because overall, I think this is pretty good strategy. He was on Fox News in discussing what Republicans need to do whenever they're brought up with, oh, you're making cuts to Medicaid. You just want people to die. This is the strategy Democrats are taking right now with the big, beautiful bill. This is what you need to hit them back with. Let me play this for you.
What lessons do you draw from that experience?
Well, first of all, the Republicans can win this battle if they go on the offense. I mean, think about the reforms. You're right, modest but important. Able-bodied people ought to work if they're going to be on Medicaid. Let the Democrats defend able-bodied people not having to work. Say, really, you want people who could work to get something free from the government, paid for by those that are working? No illegals. They get rid of the 1.4 million illegals who are on Medicaid. Again, go on the offense. Really, you want illegal aliens to be attracted here because we were promising them free health care? And finally, the Biden administration said states cannot check as frequently as they like to find out ineligible people on the rolls. So say, yeah, really? You don't want people who've moved or people who shouldn't be getting a check to be getting a check? You really don't want to have the ability of states to manage their own rolls, which cause them to spend money? So go on the offense. Nobody who works, who's able to work, should be able to get something free. This is a program designed for American citizens, not illegal aliens. And states ought to have all the tools available to find the fraud. That means, as the OMB director said, $1 out of every $5 is inappropriately spent. Give them the tools to get rid of the waste. Now, if they go on the offense, I think that's going to be a very positive message.
That's that. You know what? I think he lays it out very easy. We shouldn't be giving government resources to people that are in the country illegally because we have enough people in this country that need it that aren't receiving enough resources. If you're able-bodied, then you should be able to at least contribute in some way in order to qualify for the program. Able-bodied, that's a big part of it. And you're also saying that as individual states, you're discouraged from rooting out fraud because you're afraid that some people may have to justify their qualifications in order to stay on the program. It's kind of a ridiculous thing because when there is an issue, a red flag, the government says, okay, we need to address this. Here's what we need. This document, this document, this document. You may need to come in for an interview. We may need to see you in person. So let's. What are some red flags? Oh, I don't know. You're 140 years old and still collecting. Okay, that seems a little strange, right? Let's check this out. Your qualifications of United States citizenship are coming up with the wrong Social Security number. That's strange. We better work this out. Maybe you've moved and you're not a member of this state anymore, so maybe you don't qualify for this state. We better work this out. There's a lot of instances where I think just a quick checkup to make sure you are eligible will root out a lot of the fraud. And you're right, the Biden administration did not want to allow that to happen because they found out that all of these people they were pumping into the country and allowing to come into the country illegally by turning, you know, just turning the blind eye for whatever motivations you can assume or want to come to your own conclusions. But we can't allow them to go without medical care. And that was their, okay, we need to make sure every illegal immigrant is covered, and thus we're not allowed to question who is coming into the system, and withdrawing from that system is garbage. I think you should be able to question those things. So that is what Karl Rove has to say. And, you know, I got another clip from him, and he's right that the Republicans have to go on offense on this to realize that, hey, if you're using the desperation play, you just want people to die, that's not going to cut it here, because it's not the truth. You need to hear the truth. That's what they need to do. He's not wrong there by saying that. You might not like Karl Rove, but he's not wrong. Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. We'll continue with this coming up after the break. And some of your other clips, too. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara, News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And welcome back. Filling in for Tara today and also tomorrow. Thank you for all the text messages. I really appreciate it. I believe she's back Wednesday. So if you want to reach us, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line is 800-905-0989. The text line's the same as the talk line if you wanted to call in there. Some text messages coming in. Why are you giving Karl Rove airtime? Play some Steve Bannon clips. You know, the reason I'm doing that is because Karl was on Fox Business, I believe, and he made some really good points. And I know that, okay, he could be controversial in the sense that, you know, the rhino nature. But still, I will say this. He is right on the money when he's talking about how Republicans need to come back on the offensive when it comes to this. They're allowing themselves to get their back pushed up against the wall and slapped by these liberals and these organizations that are buying ad times through their super PACs to say, you just want people to die, Republicans. Call your representative and tell them you don't want old ladies pushed off the cliff. This is the type of tactics they're using, the scare tactics. And it's not, you know what? It's very lousy, for one thing, and it's complete out dishonest and manipulative in another way, because they play this, Donald Trump's going to take care of your health insurance. Donald Trump's going to take away your Social Security. Donald Trump is going to put you into an autism camp. And Donald Trump is going to... And then they say all of this garbage, nonsense stuff, and there is no repercussion. And this is like, you want to talk about far-left conspiracy theories. It's the stuff that they push as their mainstream thoughts and opinions. So Karl Rove is right. You got to push back on this. And this is Rove on the mainstream media amplifying Democrat voices on this topic. And you got to, as a Republican, point out where they're flat out wrong. I know you don't like Karl Rove, but he's right here. Let's take a listen.
Well, so the president basically is saying waste, fraud, and abuse, waste, fraud, and abuse. And along with that, he says, well, we're not going to cut Medicaid. He's not making any of the points you're making. Without that kind of, without presidential leadership explaining this, that puts, that makes it much harder for Republicans to do it. And waste, fraud, and abuse, I think there's a kind of cynicism among voters on that front. They say, that's what politicians always say, instead of making some of the real substantive points that you make.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. The biggest voice on behalf of these changes is the person who's going to sign that bill, the president of the United States. If he goes out and says exactly what we've been talking about, able-bodied got to work, no illegals, and states ought to be able to check for fraud and inappropriate payments as frequently as they like, that would be enormously powerful. Right now, we've got two voices. The voices of the congressional Republicans and the voices of congressional Democrats. And the media is going to amplify the vote of the voice of the latter and not of the former. They're going to be giving headlines to all the people who are going to be losing coverage. And the Republicans need the president to engage to say, if you're losing coverage, it's because you're able-bodied and refuse to work. You're an illegal alien, or you weren't eligible for the program in the first place.
100% right. Now I got to pot that down. Someone was trying to call me during that when I was playing that clip. I didn't know if that was going out over my computer or not. I had some random missed call that came through here, and I don't know why, so I apologize. You know, sometimes I do these digital phone interviews and things, and I'll set things up, and then they'll randomly call me back. Just so happens when I was playing an audio clip of Karl Rove, and all the people that were text messaging, that's what you get for playing Karl Rove. I think that's hilarious. Yes, maybe that is... The universe saying stop playing him. But he's right. There has to be stronger definition of why they're taking the approach they are. And this is the reason. I think people will get into it. One person said, is Tara off the air? No, I think she just has a couple of days off. And I'm Ryan Recker filling in. So hopefully we can enjoy this time. One person said, Republicans don't have the fortitude to fight back. Dems have been lying and cheating since they killed Kennedy. Half the RNC are rhinos anyway. That was another text message that came in. Another text message said, my granny was allowed to draw disability from my mother. How Social Security allowed, I don't know. My mother passed at 43 years old, very young. So met time y'all talk about fraud. Make sure it's not this situation. I don't know what you mean by that. Another text message said, I don't think you get it. Karl Rove doesn't want Trump to succeed. He's not saying this to help Republicans or Trump. You know, maybe he doesn't want Donald Trump to succeed. I get that. But he's right when it's time to address the problems in government spending. And there are certain institutions like Medicare or Medicaid where there is fraud that it's like it's so holy that you're not allowed to question it, even when you can identify and point out where the fraud is. So he's right. You just give him some credit. You don't have to like him, but he's right in the way that he's saying that. One, Donald Trump could do a better job explaining this, and I think he will. I think this is advice that they're going to have to take. I think Speaker Johnson talking about this bill too. I got a clip from him. Where was it? I got to find it. No, that's not it either. But Speaker Johnson was discussing this too, and he basically said, I don't even know if all the, like the reporter said, I don't know if all the Republicans even know what's in this bill. So they were talking about Taylor Greene and what, oh, was this it here? Okay, here it is. Here's Speaker Johnson. Let me play this.
On the bill, there's this provision that limits the ability of states to regulate artificial intelligence for 10 years. Marjorie Taylor Greene said that she didn't even know that was in the bill when she voted for it. You know, this is a long bill and there wasn't a long time to go over it. And that if it stays in, she would vote against it. Do you see that provision coming out?
Well, the Senate's in the process of modifying that provision somewhat. But I can tell you, I've talked to Marjorie about it. She's a dear friend. The rationale behind this is that you can't have a patchwork of 50 different states hyper-regulating or smothering it with red tape because, frankly, we would lose our edge. AI is a very important thing for the future and for national defense, and we're in a race with China and other countries on this. If we smother this thing with regulation and stop the innovation, we could do real harm for the national security interests of the country, and that's the thought behind this.
But on a larger question is, I mean, she's not the only member who said that they didn't know that something was in the bill when they voted on it.
Look, I'll just say this. This bill was developed over 14 months of work, endless hours of conversation, debate and conversation. Every single member of the House Republican Conference was involved in it at some level. The legislation was passed in phases. So we had 11 different committees push their products out over a series of weeks, and there was plenty of time to review the bill. I mean, to the
final version, there wasn't that much time.
But the final version was literally taking the 11 components and stitching it together. There was a manager's amendment at the end that had minor modifications, but everyone was well aware of what was in the bill.
Okay, so he says, okay, you had 14 months, it's gone through different committees, you could have read each version as it was coming out. And even though the final bill that is being pushed came out recently, its components have been there in its entirety for you to review. So if you don't know something that's in it, it means you didn't read it. But he said most Republicans, or all Republicans at the end, what did he say, basically know what's in it? Let me try that again.
Components in stitching it together. There was a manager's amendment at the end that had minor modifications, but everyone was well aware of what was in the bill.
Everyone was well aware what's in the bill. Do you believe that? I mean, do members of Congress even read the own bills that they propose half the time? You know, I'm a little skeptical there that everyone knows what's in it. I get that. But I think that you kind of get an idea through the process of what it went through. Committees, you know, 14 months, yes, phases. You got this understanding of the complete picture, even if you didn't read the whole thing. I think what the reporter was trying to push on Speaker Johnson is that, oh, is this just like Obamacare, where, you know, we need to pass it to see what's inside of it? But they didn't want to, like, phrase it that way to offend Nancy Pelosi. I think that, okay, I was with you, Speaker Johnson, all the way up to the end when you said everyone knows what's in the bills. No, I'm pretty sure you don't. But I will say that they should know because it's part of their job. And my objection to this is still, we're going to have to trust that through the process of rescission that you are going to follow through with more cuts, which I am very skeptical on. And I just don't know if I can trust any politician to cut further when you have zero track record of that and the budget just keeps getting larger and the bloat keeps getting bigger. I just don't know if I can. I got trust issues. What am I supposed to do? I got trust issues. All right, we'll take some more of your text messages coming up. And if you want to message the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Newstalk 98.9 WORD. I'm going to read a couple of text messages here. We got a couple minutes. You know, if you wanted to reach me, I'm on Facebook, Ryan Recker Radio, if you do a quick look up, at Ryan Recker on Twitter. That would be fun if you wanted to message me on Twitter. That would be good, too. And, of course, the text messaging line here, the Common Sense Retirement Planning text line, 800-905-0989. One person said, I was amazed that any representative would think it's okay to admit that they voted on a bill that they did not read. If you were to look at every instance where a representative voted on a bill and ask them, honestly, how many pages of that bill did you actually read? It's not going to be 100%. I think every single person in government that has voted on something, if they were honest, would say it's not 100%, and they're putting their name to it. So some cases, it's giant bills, like this other text message that came in. How can you expect a congressman to read through any bill that's over 1,000 pages long? I'm going to say this. I'm going to finish this person's text message. When most representatives are probably illiterate in some ways, or don't want to spend the time, or they're just for fundraising, they're there for the money, they're there to gets kind of a social standing so they can go take another big job, or they just looking for a tax tip that they can invest in. So I finished your text message for them. But I think that if you are someone that's in office and it's an important bill, then this is your job to do it, especially when you're paid, you know, what is it, a representative paid, $180,000 or whatever the minimum is, and then you get even higher and higher based on how much longer you're in there. One person, how about this? Just don't party for a couple of nights and sit down and read these things. Like, it's your job. It's not like reading a book. I mean, when you look at these government record pages, they got huge margins on them. It's like when you were in high school and the teacher said you have to write a 50-page essay, well, you're putting the font up and you're making those margins large in order to stretch it out to get that 50 marker. That's what they do. It's like written in a way where it's not, you know, 1,000 pages. If you were to try to make that into book form, 1,000 pages is probably 500. So still. One person said, Ryan, the rescission bills will never pass. Neocons treat us fiscal conservatives like high school girls in the backseat of your daddy's Buick. They better pass. If you can't pass the NPR PBS one, then what's wrong with you? I'd be so upset. One person said, Ryan, don't most Congress people have staff to read those bills and then they get a representative Cliff Notes version? Anymore, they probably use AI to get an idea of what's in it. They probably take the entire bill, they download it, they go to ChatGPT and say, okay, can you write a summary for me? And that's how they get most of it. I would be so disappointed if that was the case. One person said, good morning, Ryan. Republicans have always had a problem with getting the message out. They need to step back and let the Democrats do whatever they want, save whenever they want without addressing it. They are in deep trouble if they don't step up. Republicans would be in deep trouble. One person messaged this, and it's a little bit further down. I'm so frustrated to hear the media amplifying the Democrats' comments, and it seems there has to be a way for Donald Trump himself to prove otherwise. And some people are saying, you know, why doesn't Donald Trump, for example, just address the public with this directly? And that is a fantastic idea. If Donald Trump said, I'm just going to address the nation, I'm going to do a live video, it doesn't have to be from the Oval Office, but, you know, Joe Biden would have done it from the Oval Office. But still, you can do an address the nation and the major news networks are going to cover it. And then you lay out your points of this bill and this lies about Medicaid and call it out exactly for what it is. You as the American people can make this decision for yourself. You understand you're being lied to. Here's why. Here's what we want to get rid of. We want to get rid of fraud, waste, and abuse. Here's how we're going to do it, and this is what the bill does. So don't listen to these people. They're saying they're throwing grandma off the cliff. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in for Tara. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to News Talk 98.9 WORD.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.